A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Beitza Daf Gimel 3b, pagination page 6. We're dealing with the original case of the Masechta Beya Shenolda B'Yamtif. There was an egg that was laid on Yamtif, and the ruling which we got was that that egg is Muktza, and it cannot be used on Yom Tif. And we discussed yesterday what the source of the prohibition is, but it is Muktza and it is prohibited. The Gemara on today's daf tells us, and it's a fascinating statement, very important, here on Amud Beis, if you count down about 15 lines, you'll see towards the beginning of the line, this statement goes until the end of the line. The statement is, Im nis'arva be'elef kulan asuros. If this egg that we're discussing gets mixed in, even in 1,000 other eggs, they will all be prohibited. And the question is why? What is so severe about this egg that will cause all of the eggs that it mixes into to become prohibited? Now, we have to back up here for a drop of background information to be aware that as severe as it is to eat a non-kosher item, but there is a principle in the Torah called batal barov. Another principle that also exists is called batal beshishim. There is some level of nullification that could take place if an item gets mixed in a way that the permitted food is greater than the prohibited food. And when it mixes in, it ends up, on some level, becoming permitted. I give you a classic example just to appreciate the principle. A person has a fleishik chulent cooking in an open pot Friday, and he goes and makes a bottle for a child, for a baby, and he's shaking the bottle, holding the nipple closed. You could see that this once happened. And when he leaves go of the nipple because he's done shaking the bottle, the pressure inside the bottle causes some of the milk to spurt out through the hole in the nipple, and it ends up going into the cholent, a small, small amount. So one reaction, of course, is it's milchiks and fleishiks, and it's all gone. The other reaction is, please ask a shaila, because if you'll ask a rav, he may very well tell you that the amount of milk that fell into this fleishik cholent is so minuscule compared to the greater total of cholent, etc. He might tell you that the potato or meat that it hit has to be pulled out, but ultimately the bulk of your cholent may very well be permitted. And therefore we have this concept called nullification or bittul. And the question is, going back to our Gemara, why are we so harsh in this case of the egg and say, nis'arva be'elef, even in 1,000, kulan asuros, they are all prohibited. I'd like to introduce over here, based on this Gemara, a number of considerations to the concept of bittul, basically exceptions to the concept of bittul to nullification, and these exceptions will cause us enormous pause when we consider whether something that's prohibited can be nullified in a mixture. One of the principles mentioned here in the Gemara, it's just about midway in height on the page at the end of a line, called dover sheyesh lo matirin afilo be'elef lo batel. Anything that will become mutter, it will become permitted, so even in 1,000, it doesn't get nullified, and the reason is because you could wait till it becomes permitted. So that, for example, this egg by waiting until after Yom Tov, it will become permitted. So the question that we ask you is, why are you insisting that you need to eat the egg now, or an egg from the thousand of the mixture? Wait till after Yom Tov, and then you'll be able to eat from the mixture, and it will be totally permitted. There won't be any nullification required, because once Yom Tov is over, the egg is permitted. And that's this principle. Kol davar sheyesh lo matirin, if it will become mutter on its own at a certain point, afilu be'elef lo batel, that's a reason that we should not invoke the nullification process. If time will heal it, then we don't invoke bittul. Another concept which the Gemara brings up is two lines later, at the end of a line, beitza chashuva velo bitela. If something is chashuv, if something is significant, then it does not become batel even in a mixture. And the Gemara continues and tells us it may depend on darko limnos or eshe darko limnos. If the item is typically counted and not given with a casual attitude when someone purchases it, it's really counted. Everyone is counted meticulously. So then that's another reason that it should not become bata when it gets mixed in with other things, because each one is important, and the one that's prohibited, which we can't identify right now, is so significant that it doesn't become bata. There's a lot of discussion in practical halacha, as things developed through the generations, whether eggs in each generation are indeed considered so significant because they're counted by number. Certain poskim in their generation mention, lefa'amim mochrim sal molei beitzim. Sometimes they sell a basket full of eggs, in which case it's not a davar shebeminyan exclusively, that it's only sold by number. In our time, at least the impression that we get, you go to a store, they sell you a dozen eggs. They count them meticulously. They're actually put into a very specific holder, certainly so that they don't break, but also the way it's sold, for whatever reason. But the fact is, they're sold definitely by number. So, question would be exactly what status a beitza would have. One of the interesting applications of this is in Hilchas Chanukah, where the Rama in Siman Tav Resh Ayin Gimel tells us that if a candle was lit for Chanukah lights, and then the fire went out, whatever, but this candle is wholly designated for Chanukah lights, and it got mixed in with other candles. So the ruling of the Rama is, afilu echad be'elef lo batel. Even one in a thousand, it's not going to be batel, because candles on Chanukah are a davar shebeminyan. They're designated by their number. We're very meticulous. How many candles am I lighting tonight? And as you put them into the holders, you're counting. Four candles, five candles, six candles. You know exactly what the number is. We're meticulous. The Mishneh Berurah observes that's only during Chanukah. But if it's not during Chanukah, candles generally are not so important to be considered davar shebeminyan. And therefore, if a person would wait till after Chanukah, this concept of bittul would indeed take place. It's only during Chanukah that the bittul can take place, because during Chanukah, it's considered a davar shebeminyan. There's a fascinating statement from the Ben Ish Chai in which he explains that the reason in his community he paskins stringently regarding eggs is not because he considers them a davar shebeminyan, because they're exclusively sold by number and therefore are not batal in a mixture. He writes that the reason he's so strict by beitzim is because it's a chaticha re'uya lehischabed. It's considered a different siman in Shulchan Aruch, where the item is so significant because it's honor type food. It's a very significant type of food. So it has nothing to do with the way it's sold, nothing to do with the fact that it will become mutter later on. It has to do with the egg is very significant in his society, and he describes how the balabatim would have a special egg presented to them, I think it says Shabbos morning, and therefore it's considered a chaticha ru'uya l'eschabed, a special dish. Along those lines, I would mention a historical note. In the early years of the yeshiva of Panevish, so the yeshiva provided meals to the students, but it was very dire times, and there wasn't a whole lot of food, and whatever the yeshiva served, but many of the boys who had other cash methods, they had relatives sending them money or whatever, they had a little discretionary money, so those boys would purchase an egg, and they would put it with their name on the eggshell into the yeshiva pot, and the yeshiva, as a courtesy, would boil up their egg so that they would have the luxury of an egg. A little bit similar to what today happens in yeshiva. If a person has a little discretionary, so he'll go out and he'll buy himself a soda for the Shabbos meal or something. So they would use an egg. That was considered something special. It's quite similar to what the Ben Ish Chai is describing, that this is a luxury item, and therefore, whether it's because of davar shebeminyan, because it's counted, or because it's chaticha ru'uy lehischabed, it could be that the egg takes on a different type of role in the rules of bittul. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.